Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Ann Duncan, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And shared services and shared technologies is a way to eliminate a duplication of solutions for mission support and commodity IT. Would you tell us more about your department-wide efforts around pursuing shared services and technology and the benefits derived from this effort?
Yeah, so I think there's a number of things I would point out around shared services. As I mentioned, we are a shared services provider to the rest of the government with FOIA Online and e-rulemaking. And so that's one piece of the picture. But internally, we're a shared services user as well. We use shared services for some of our financial systems. We also use shared services that we provide ourselves both to other users in the agency and to other users in the government and in some cases outside the government. So, for example, we have a set of shared registries. So we have a registry of facilities that tell us about the facilities that EPA regulates. And we have other states and tribes using that registry. And we also have some other agencies now wanting to use that registry. And when we build up that shared service registry of facilities, the more people that use that service, the better it gets. So those registry services, not only do we get leverage of people using those services, but we also get leverage of them getting better when everybody uses them, which is not true of every shared service, but because it's a data service, the more use it gets, the better it gets. We also have some shared identity services that allow us to share authentication processes with the states and the tribes to really streamline authentication and very high quality authentication. So there's authentication where we don't much care who you are, and there's authentication that has to be legally defensible. And we have shared services that will provide every level of authentication that you could possibly need in that system. So we continue to look at our opportunities to participate in and to provide more shared services, because we think that the most effective shared services user is a shared services provider. The most effective shared services provider is one who uses it, because you understand your role in both cases. And so we want to use as many shared services as we can. We want to provide as many as we can.
Growing out of the need to hold down costs, maintain transparency, and meet high service expectations, could you tell us more about your efforts to achieve operational excellence in service delivery? What are you doing to develop a culture of continuous incremental improvement?
So our efforts to improve our operations started by ensuring we had all the fundamentals in place. So you've got to have high-quality devices available to your staff, right? Because if we don't have high-quality modern devices available, the operational cost of supporting those devices is extremely high, and you're still not going to get a good experience. You know, if someone's got a laptop that's several years old, they're going to be calling the help desk a great deal, and that's not going to be a very effective solution for anybody. So the first thing is to make sure you have the right level of support in terms of the equipment. And then the second piece is simply making sure that we have the tools and processes in place to support our ability to have quality operations. So that means having the right contracts, having the right providers, having the right metrics that will allow us to successfully measure our performance and respond and improve. But most important, as you said, is culture. Right? It's about having a culture in our agency and in our IT organization that we value service. We value providing good service to our customers, whether they be internal or external, and we value the ability to say yes more than we say no. Right? So we want to find ways to solve people's problems, and we've worked very hard, as I talked about culture before, at all levels to improve the experience of our customers, to make them heard with our new customer experience team, to provide that feedback back into the organization by saying, this is what we heard from our customers, and now this is how we're going to change it, by providing entry points so that people understand how they can interact with us and how they can be successful, and then by streamlining the way we do our work. So modern methodologies aren't just for software development, but they're for how we do our work every day. And so finding ways to be agile, to move quickly, to have a bias towards having a short project that gets something done, to have a bias to action, right? I don't want to spend 6 months planning. I want to spend a couple weeks planning. I want to get to work. And that's how we get to excellent service. So it takes all those things together. We can't just simply say we want to be good. We have to put the processes and tools in place to be good.
And earlier you mentioned your data services initiative as an opportunity to transform the way EPA delivers partner and public-facing technology and ultimately all mission-related technology. How will this effort result in improvements not only to the programs where the digital services team is engaged, but across the agency's IT domain? And why was this an opportune time to launch this initiative?
So let's start with why we started when we did. I like to think that the timing was sort of a perfect storm. And I always say that you should never waste a good crisis. And I'm certainly not original in saying that. So if you look at the timing of when we implemented that, we had the digital services movement starting in government. So that started from a crisis, right? We had problems with healthcare.gov, and that gave us an opportunity to catalyze federal government around moving towards digital services. So the timing was able to take advantage of that. In addition, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, FITARA, as I mentioned before, provided the CIO with additional authorities that made it easier to move towards digital services and to engage the rest of the organization in discussions about moving towards digital services. And thirdly, the cybersecurity issues that showed up when OMB had their breach last year really also catalyzed folks to focus on modernizing. So all those things together were the perfect storm that made it really possible to say, you know, we need to do digital services, we need to change the way we're working, and we need to do it now. So that was perfect from our standpoint as an opportunity. So the focus of our digital services effort is really to completely change the way we do software development. And that is a culture change, right? There are some things you can do in digital services that don't require a culture change. But the vast majority of those things really do require us to change the way we work. You are not going to move into DevOps if you're operating in a culture where everyone is siloed. So we very much focused on building teams together that could in fact implement a fully agile solution that goes everything from using agile development methodologies all the way to DevOps at the other end, and focused on building small modules, focus on user experience, focus on lean startup methodology. So even our budgeting process within projects becomes agile, where we apply a little bit of money, decide whether that's working or not, and then move on. So it's a really exciting thing, and it's not just about software development. As I said, if you want to have a true transformation, you have to have everybody on board. So everybody has to be involved, whether it's a software developer, whether it's someone operating a server, or whether it's someone in your business office. Everyone has to be part of that. And we've created a system within EPA where basically if you go anywhere in the agency to try and work on something, you'll get sort of pushed back to this agile methodology. And so you can go high, you can go look to hire and be pushed towards the agile activities for hiring, like our innovation fellowship. With acquisition, we're building in the vehicles so that you're agile ways to purchase things. We're working with our Office of the Administrator to create a design thinking organization. So everywhere in the organization, that push is going to be towards modern practices.
And I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about IT security and in particular cyber threats. Today, rapidly evolving technology increases an organization's IT vulnerability footprint. To that end, would you elaborate on your IT security efforts and the six goals that frame it? What is being done in the area of role-based cyber technology training and improving awareness among EPA staff?
Sure. So as I mentioned before, IT security is an ongoing challenge. Right? We're never going to be done. We're never going to have all the answers we need to be successful. And we constantly have to continue to improve to up our game. So, you know, the EPA is, like every other agency in the federal government, implementing CDM, which is Continuous Diagnostics and Monitoring. And that's an important piece of the puzzle. And DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, is helping us do that. That's one of our top priorities this year, is getting through CDM phase one, which we're almost done with, and moving through the rest of the CDM phases. But we also have a number of other projects, I think it's 36 last time I checked, with our security team that are designed around improving our capabilities in other security areas that we really want to focus on, beefing up our capabilities to monitor and to detect and to respond to issues. So, you know, you've got to focus. You can't just focus on protection, because being on the defense is going to leave you vulnerable. So you have to be able to focus on understanding what's actually going on and responding when something does happen. It's, you know, it's by definition difficult to defend. Being on the offense is easier. People have more time and energy to attack than you'll ever have to defend. So as an IT organization, we have to act as if we have been breached, as if there's been a event. It doesn't mean there has been one. It doesn't mean we have been, but we need to behave as if we have and to protect the highest value assets. And so that's really one of the things we look at is we want to protect our perimeter. We also want to recognize that our perimeter is likely to be breached someday. We're going to do our very best to keep that from happening. It's highly likely. So how do we protect the assets inside the perimeter that are most important to us to ensure that we are successful? And then if we get breached, how do we detect and how do we remedy that problem as quickly as possible?
And EPA has served as the managing partner for bringing the federal regulatory process into the internet age under the e-rulemaking program and regulation.gov. Would you tell us more about EPA's role and effort in redesigning every aspect of the regulations.gov system? What are the key enhancements? What has been done and what remains to be done?
Yeah, so e-rulemaking is an exciting program. We provide support for 99% of the regulations that are issued by the federal government. It's only one agency that doesn't use e-rulemaking, and one of these days we'll change that. But in the meantime, we started e-rulemaking as a system that was built as a legacy system, right? So it's built in our system with our infrastructure, and we are moving the system to the cloud. We're going to open source, we're going to the cloud, and we're also continuing to add new features. So just to tell you a little bit about what we're doing, we're adding more APIs to allow sharing of data to systems anywhere in the world and allowing the public to submit comments from other websites. So that means basically that an agency could put a comment widget on their website and submit comments to e-rulemaking, and the individual submitting the comment never actually goes to the e-rulemaking site. And so that really streamlines that. And we're also taking advantage of federalregister.gov and other APIs to really get information to us more quickly and pull in data from other partner websites so that the regulations.gov website is a more complete and comprehensive view of the data available. We're updating our comment process, which will allow users to see something very similar to other online sites, so they will be able to draft their comment, review it, and then they'll actually get a receipt for their submission. It's a pretty straightforward and simple concept, but in the past, that's not how we've been able to do it. And obviously, we're continuing to modernize the look and feel of the site. We want to make it look like a modern website, not like a site you would go to and go, wow, that site was built in the 1990s. So we have to address the steady increase of data we've received and we continue to receive. Last year, EPA received a record number of comments. We frequently have agencies who do big rules that receive large number of comments. And so we've been looking at how we can improve our performance of our software and hosting environment so that our systems still run very well under those circumstances. And we've also been able to take some of our old document images and text files and make those available online as readable files. But let me talk more about the modernization, which I think is the truly exciting part. So in this coming fiscal year, we are moving to an open source framework that will allow us to go to the cloud, to our cloud service provider that we will select. One of the things that we're doing as part of our actually improved governance is we have a process where our operations team helps decide where things are hosted from a cloud standpoint. So they will go in and look at the cloud readiness for that system and the requirements, and then they'll decide which of several hosting providers that we provide that we'll use. So that system will go into a cloud service provider selected by our operations team, and then it'll be implemented with open source tools. So getting rid of all the proprietary tools and databases, and also moving that away from being hosted by the development partner. So there will be a lot of changes in the way the process is working. And the architecture will be, as I mentioned, API based and streamlined, so it'll be easier for people to access the system, to interface with the system, and to gather documents. So, you know, and we do all this and still keep our costs to our partner agencies at a very reasonable level. We have 40 partner agencies who all pay their share depending upon the size of their program and how many comments they receive each year. There's a pretty complicated formula that makes that determination, but the idea is to make sure that the folks who use it the most pay the most, and that it's affordable for the small agencies who have a small need. And so we're very excited about that, those changes, and about some of the new features we're bringing online.
And would you tell us more about EPA's GreenSpark initiative? How does it seek to offer fresh perspective, innovative ideas, and harness the collective experience across EPA to some of the challenges you face?
So great. Yeah, GreenSpark is about 2 years old. And the idea behind GreenSpark is really getting the power of the entire community in EPA to find innovative ideas and solutions, and also to share success stories across the agency. And so It's a collaboration across the entire agency, and the GreenSpark team will develop basically a challenge idea that they'll share across the agency. And so some examples of that, this year we had an Improving EPA's Environmental Regulations Challenge, and it basically was a question of which rules that had been finalized at least 5 years ago should be modified, streamlined, expanded, or repealed. And that was giving people, you know, ideas, letting people share their ideas about what should be changed and that could make us more successful. Another example is the Bright Ideas Challenge, which actually is out of our Region 8 office that's open right now, and it's looking for ideas to improve our organization, work processes, and work environment to make us more effective and efficient. So those are a couple examples, but basically the idea with GreenSpark is simply to work across the entire agency to say, hey, who has a good idea? And then to share that out. And it may be something people have already done and that we want to recognize. It may also be something that's brand new that we can do.
What are the characteristics of a successful federal CIO? We will ask Ann Duncan, EPA's Chief Information Officer, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.